Desolation Angel Radio, Kip Williams with you, back on the air with part two of From There to Here. And I've got some really exciting news. I talked yesterday about, you know, what's going to happen here with the podcast over this fall as we go into October, November, December towards something really momentous for me, my 65th birthday on November 21st, and the fact that there's a lot of things in my life that are coming to this conclusion point or, you know, a turning point. I live my life really by taking care of one critical situation after another and then just kind of saying, all right, what's next? And I do that. So what I talked yesterday about was how this podcast, which has been on the air, I said 10 years, it's really been on the air 12 years. I was podcasting long before podcasting was cool. And it's always been about music. And I was talking about where that comes from for me, because I'm not strictly a rock and roll guy, even though looking at the playlist, you might think so. And how I grew up, what I grew up around, the kinds of music I grew up around, and the people I grew up around, who I suppose I've reached a point in my life where I'm looking and saying, how did Kip get here? You know, how did this Kip happen? The Kip who is a troubleshooter and a fixer and a crisis consultant and a crisis manager and a disaster response specialist and security specialist, risk and threat assessment, founded the largest private charity and benefit in Western New York, wound up leading a task force to fight, a new novel killing virus, wound up a person, I'm a lot of people's 2 a.m. phone call. And how did I wind up here? Because if I look all the way back at Little Kip back on Borges Drive, you know, before we lived on Orinoco in Comstock, Michigan, and who I was then, it somehow it doesn't fit, but I know the people that were around me can help me answer that. So when I say exciting news, you know, here's what's happened is as I've done this, I need to always give credit to the people who come, you know, where I come from. And I just heard from Michael Billingsley, who's in Barcelona, Spain until October 19th. But I've known him since 1969, 1970, and we've maintained a friendship that whole time. And I love the note he just sent me. I'm definitely in. We were in Barcelona until October 19th, but when we return, I'm in. The music you turned me on to or that we discovered together has never left me and significantly shaped my musical journey. I'll never forget being high as fuck in your basement with those amazing headphones, listening to everything from Blue Oyster Cult and Slade to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Night at the Opera, New York Dolls, Van Morrison, you know, anything. And I had a legendary basement in Comstock. Everybody hung out there. And he reminded me last night, of course, after I recorded the show right here in Buffalo, I went and saw Nick Mason, drummer for Pink Floyd, who's out on the road performing Saucer Full of Secrets from beginning to end. Amazing show. I'd forgotten how much I loved Pink Floyd's music and what a zen place it puts me into and how absolutely avant-garde, experimental, progressive it was and still is. And it was amazing because Richard Wright's son, the old keyboard player for Pink Floyd, who's now on the other side of the rainbow, but his son was playing bass. And believe it or not, the old lead singer and guitar player from Spandau Fucking Ballet is the lead vocalist and lead guitarist for this tour with Nick Mason. But again, that music endures. That music that comes from the 70s. So I heard from Michael, and I've also got messages out to all those people because I've managed to maintain a really good friendship with all the people that I knew in the 70s, my friends. And we've maintained a friendship over 50 years, and not just a facile, surfacey one, but a friendship. And I talked to Craig, and Camper has been my running partner since 1971. He and I figured it out today. 52 years we have been together. And still to this day are one another's 2 a.m. phone call. We have always covered one another's backs and asses. We have always been good friends all the way through high school. He was my first roommate when I moved out of my folks' house. Just an amazing human being. But he and some other guys, Pooch, Matt, were all in a band that I worked sound for. And again, that's another part of this journey, this musical journey, and this journey of figuring out, you know, who I am. And Craig said, hell yes, I want to get on the radio and tell people. Any story they've heard about you is true, and it's probably watered down. It's probably watered down. And talking to people like Diana and Tom and David, you know, along with Michael, people I went to high school with, who are all in. They're like, it's like, yeah, you can record us. Let's talk about what it was like to grow up in the 70s there. And the reason I talked with John Tarwater today, with Tarwater, my brother and friend, and we'll hear from him, because he's an important part of who I am as a person and another important part of the musical journey. So there's all that coming. So go back and listen to part one, and we'll do part two here today. And let's set ourselves back where I come from, which is Comstock, Michigan, as you know, on the east side of Kalamazoo. And in those early 70s, and I talked yesterday about the musical influences around me, because Little Kip had curly hair and braces, and I was a voracious reader, absorbed. I read The Lord of the Rings all the way through when I got it. Long before y'all saw the movie, I read the books. That kind of thing. My mom tells me I sat down and read the Encyclopedia Britannica between kindergarten and first grade because I was bored. And if you knew me then, you really would understand that. But I grew up surrounded by all kinds of music. Mom being a trained musician, my sister being a performer. And I was talking yesterday about musicals like West Side Story, which had such a great impact on me. It really did. That those songs have remained with me my entire life, along with songs from shows like Oklahoma or The Music Man, 76 Trombones, you know, just amazing stuff. And then I was talking yesterday about big band music from the 40s and the 50s. So at one point in time, you know, you had things like Elvis, and I played Elvis yesterday with Suspicious Minds, but Elvis was all over the radio, you know, and you could not get away from it. You really couldn't. It was amazing to be around that and to listen to it, to really hear, you know, what's being said and you know, that kind of thing. So that was really important, you know, listening to Elvis and him turning everybody on to what at that point in time was called race music, you know? But Love Me Tender, you know? Can't Help Falling in Love. The two songs that really stick with me from Elvis are In the Ghetto and Kentucky Rain. Kentucky Rain, to me, is just absolutely incredible number. You know, it really is. So surrounded by that. And of course, you know, like I said, you know, we had all kinds of, you know, big band music was still a thing, you know, it really was. People like Tommy Dorsey. So the point is this. Today, as people listen to music, it's selected for them by an algorithm, by an AI, based on their previous listening. And I look at my release radar on Spotify, and I confuse the hell out of Spotify with the things I listen to, because I listen to everything, you know, no matter what it is, and so it doesn't know what to show me. But the point is this, because you're hearing all of this, and like I said, in Kalamazoo on WKZO Channel 3, you would hear every Saturday night on the Green Valley Jamboree. You know, you would hear this every week, no matter what.
The sweetest song belongs to lovers in the gloaming. The sweetest words were meant for you and me. The saddest words I ever heard were words of heartache. when you said, sweetheart, remember me. Let's sing it, children. Oh, remember me when the candlelight you gleaming. Remember me at the close of a long, long day. It'll be so sweet when all alone I'm dreaming. Just to know that.
So you have that. And no matter what, you know, you have this great background. And radio at the time really didn't have a format. So you could hear that. And at the same point in time, as you're listening to that, you'd hear this. Hear that on the radio, you know, and then you would hear this. Now, the interesting part about that one is, because everybody knows the Beach Boys, is it took a hot minute to figure out that Brian Wilson had fired the Beach Boys to record it, and he brought in the Wrecking Crew. And that's about the time, because I was this obsessive person who would read the back of every album. You know, I wanted to know who the musicians were that were creating these incredible sounds. And so the Wrecking Crew was a group of session musicians out of the West Coast who have played on everything you've heard from that era, from the Beach Boys to Sonny and Cher to the Turtles, to Flo and Eddie. They, Frank Sinatra, Strangers in the Night, Dean Martin, they could play anything. It was Carole Kay on guitar. These are legendary names to musicians. Carole Kay, Tommy Tedesco, Hal Blaine on the drums, Leon Russell on the keyboards. Glenn Campbell was the guitar player. James Burton. The other keyboardist besides Leon Russell was Mac Rebenack, Dr. John. And so, but you started hearing all this on the radio, and again, it wasn't algorithm driven, and record stores were popping up everywhere, and all of a sudden, rock and roll started booming, and it boomed big, you know. And I was talking about Mike and Craig, whom I go back to 1971 with, and we'll hear more from Craig later from that crew. That Craig's who I moved into, and that crew is who I hung with through the late 70s and early 80s. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something, human beings. When you've got friends like that, you are a rich human being. And what I mean when I say, I'm not joking when I say we've been one another's 2 a.m. phone call. I talked in episode one about a very dark period of my life 5-6 years ago where a lot of things happened. And we'll get into that in some episodes further down the road. Because there's a happy ending to it. But when that occurred, I tell you what, Craig and the boys, they were ready to rock and roll right now. Whatever I needed, they were ready to move to Western New York. I mean, it was like, we're going to come take care of business, you know, and it was like just backing it down and saying, you know, we're going to let this play out the way that it needs to play out. But they have always had my back. I have always had theirs. And the people I'm talking about, Tarwater, you'll hear from Don Waterhawk, you know, later on. These are people that have had my back no matter what. You know, you are going to hear from people that are significant human beings that helped me become me along with the music. And the one thing that I value above all else is loyalty. You know, loyalty is not gray. You know, loyalty isn't, if you're loyal, you're loyal. And you back one another's play and you take care of anything, you know, that it's like your friend screws up because I screw up a lot. My friends screw up a lot, but you take care of that in private. When it comes out to the public, you back one another no matter what, you know, and you never be disloyal to a human being that's put their trust in you. Never. And I really live and die by that. So anyhow, you had all this great music going back then. And again, there was no genres. You know, you didn't hear, you know, it's like, well, this is rock. Sweet Loretta. Sweet Loretta Lynn, who died last week at 90 years old. You know, that was about the point in time that I started hearing Loretta Lynn. So you'd hear Loretta Lynn and then the other incredible voice coming out of country at that point in time.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
So you'd hear Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn, you know, and then what would happen is all of a sudden on the radio, you'd hear that and it would switch to this. Anytime you got in the car, I mean, that could happen. But the other part of it was, is it wasn't just the radio. Because, again, it was a point in time when we really only had three channels on the TV, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the local UHF PBS station. But what we also had we had weekly shows on the television. Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, Midnight Special, American Bandstand, Don Cornelius' Soul Train, Saturday Night Live premiered the year we were all seniors in high school. And in just a minute, I'll go over that whole list of musical guests that happened, you know, and who the guest hosts were. And again, there wasn't a genre, man. It was just music. And we got to listen to it all and be influenced by all of it. And part of it is I'm in high school and I'm listening to, watching, trust me, the 70s are very fuzzy. Kids, if your grandparents are our age and they tell you they weren't high in the 70s, they're lying. Oh, very fuzzy. Anyhow, I was watching Don Kirshner's Rock Concert or Midnight Special, one of the two. I can't remember which. And my mind got absolutely blown because strutting out onto the stage, full costume, full of gree-gree, full of mojo, Dr. John with the funkiest song I had ever heard in my life.
Into this time. Doesn't need a little brain salad surgery. Ooh. Got the cue of my insecurity. But I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right vein, but it seems like a wrong on. I've been in the right world, but it seems like a wrong. Street. See my life shaking with every who I meet. Refried confusion as I'm making itself clear. Wonder which way to go to get on out of here. Cause I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. And I done said the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I took the right road, but I must have took a wrong turn. I took the right move, but I made at the wrong time. I went in the right trip, but I made in the wrong call. Headed in a good place.
I will never forget that night. I can still tell you to this day exactly what he was wearing. I can tell you, he came strutting out, and that was amazing. And like I said, that was available on the TV to us. We didn't have 568 channels. We had three channels, and we had these people that formatted and programmed the things that they knew people wanted to see, and that's what they were giving us. I saw the Allman Brothers on one of those two. It was either Don Kirshner's Rock Concert or Midnight Special, and they performed this number that I will never, ever, ever forget that sold me on them, and it dove me down this rabbit hole. of everything that Duane Allman had played on. He was the guitar player of Muscle Shoals for Aretha's album Down There. He was guitar player for Boz Scaggs on a number called Loan Me a Dime that's infamous. He was the most incredible guitar player ever. Duane Allman, the Allman Brothers, Greg Allman, Barry Oakley, oh, Jimo, Butch Trucks. Oh my God. I was watching this in that infamous basement of mine. We'll talk about that when I get the whole group of people together from the 70s. But I was watching this, and I can to this day tell you I was so struck by the passion and intensity that this band brought to this song. And the other thing is the Allman Brothers are what turned me on to the blues. And we're gonna have a show where I'm gonna talk about where I went when I started trying to discover the blues and finding out about them. Because again, we were exposed to it. It was amazing, you know? And at the same point in time, we had so many other things happening, you know, like, you know, besides just this, and I'll play a few cuts of some other stuff that was going on all at the same time. And it's what shaped all of us, shaped our tastes and shaped us to know what music should be like, and gave us that sentiment up to today. It's really interesting.
Well, there's a man down there. Lord, it just might happen to be your. just don't know.
So, and I was talking, so we got to see all this on television. And the other part of it is Saturday Night Live, which to you has been on the air forever. My senior year in high school premiered. And I'm going to read you just the episodes that we watched. The very first episode of Saturday Night Live, the cast, of course, was amazing. The cast was Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Jane Curtin, Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman, just amazing people were part of the cast. And then that first episode, George Carlin was the host, and a musical guest were Billy Preston and Janice Ian. Two different musical guests, and that was also where Andy Kaufman did that incredible non-comedy comedy where he mimed the Mighty Mouse theme, and of course that introduced the Killer Bees, who were amazing. The second episode, Paul Simon was the host. My God. Randy Newman, Phoebe Snow, Art Garfunkel showed up, and he duetted with Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, and then Jesse Dixon Singers. Those were the musical guests. So again, you know, we got turned on to Randy Newman and Phoebe Snow. Rob Reiner was the host of the third. Candace Bergen was the host of the fourth, and just a complete switch up. Going to Broadway, Esther Phillips was the musical guest. Robert Klein, great stand-up comedian, was the host for the fifth. ABBA and Loudon Wainwright III were the musical guests. Lily Tomlin was the guest host and of episode six, as well as being in the cast. I mean, that's where that's where Emily Latella debuted. And Tomlin showed up and she was the musical guest doing St. James Infirmary Blues and I Got You, Babe, with the Muppets. Okay, I mean, if you can get that. Richard Pryor was the guest host for the seventh show, and Gil Scott-Heron was the musical guest, and he did Johannesburg and A Lovely Day, and man, did that turn a lot of people on to jazz and to the beginnings of hip-hop. Candace Bergen was the guest host for episode eight, when Martha Reeves and the Stylistics were the two musical guests. Elliot Gould, episode nine. Anne Murray, which switched over to kind of poppy folk. Buck Henry was the host for number 10, and Bill Withers and Tony Basil were the two different musical guests and two different styles, one R&B and one pop. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were the guest hosts for episode 11, and Neil Sedaka was the musical guest. Dick Cavett was the host for number 12. Jimmy Cliff, reggae, you know, was the musical guest. 13, Peter Boyle was the host. Al Jarreau was the musical guest. Again, jazz. Desi Arnaz was the host for number 14, and then he was also the musical guest, bringing Cuban and salsa into, you know, everybody's living room. Jill Clayburgh was the host for 15. Leon Redbone and the Idlers were the musical guests. Anthony Perkins, number 16, with Betty Carter as a musical guest. Again, swing music right there. 17, Ron Nesson, Patti Smith, full-on punk. You know, and Raquel Welch was the host for number 18. Phoebe Snow and John Sebastian, two different folk artists, were the musical guests. Madeline Kahn was the host for 19. Carly Simon was the musical guest. Diane Cannon was the host for 20. Leon and Mary Russell, you know, were the musical guests. Buck Henry was the host for 21. Gordon Lightfoot and Garrett Morris were the musical guests. Elliot Gould for number 22 with Leon Redbone and Harlan Collins. Okay. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band was the musical guest for number 23, Louise Lasser. I want you to think about the whole roster of people. And we got to see these people once a week. Rita Coolidge was the musical guest for the last one of the season on number 24, and Kris Kristofferson was the guest host. And that led me down a rabbit hole to find out what a great songwriter Kris Kristofferson was. He had written Me and Bobby McGee for Janis Joplin, you know, and it was about he and Janis's relationship more than anything else. So you had all of this going on, and it was just amazing. And that's, you know, really, if you think about what you're like in your teenage years, so from like 10 to 17, you know, this is what we all had. And we had this incredible variety available to us all the time. It was really incredible. So what's going to happen is this. You're going to start hearing, you know, I'm not going to run the episodes even out to an hour. You've had a good taste of the music. And what I'm going to close with is one from a guy named Long John Baldry that led me all the way down the rabbit hole, on Brit Blues. It was an album that came out in 1971, and absolutely loved it. And again, you know, you sit in the record store, I'm the obsessive kid that reads the back. The keyboard player and producer was Elton John, a young one. Rod Stewart was another producer. The female vocalist on it was Maggie Bell, another infamous rock and roll voice, and Ronnie Wood was a guitar player. And man, did this lead me down a rabbit hole. So I'll talk to you again tomorrow. We're going to have more interviews. You're going to start hearing interviews from people that knew me back in the day and how this music influenced them and their lives back in the day. And you'll get to hear from I still like Craig. Anything I tell him, Kip, I'm going to have to tone down, which is true. But I'm going to lay this on you, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow with episode 3. But I'm going to say this to you. Don't try to lay no boogie woogie on the king of rock and roll. Oh!
Bridge until you pay the toll.